This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmih. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونبلوكم بالخير والشر فتنة وقال تعالى أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون وقال تعالى وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وقال تعالى إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون Respected brothers and elders, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of those who follow him in righteousness and guidance. Respected elders and brothers, we are aware that in this world we are faced with different situations. We are faced with situations of ease and sometimes challenges that come upon us in our life. We have read and we have kept abreast with regard to some of the challenges that has faced not only the Muslim community but the entire community here in this country. And as there are challenges in this country, there are challenges in other countries as well. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants ease to people. Allah ta'ala grants afiyat. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O Abbas, ask Allah ta'ala for afiyat. Afiyat means ease. Afiyat means well-being. There is no dua that you can ask of Allah ta'ala for anything better than ask Allah ta'ala for afiyat. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imati fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. So we ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. We ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat for the people of this country and other countries in the world. We all have our challenges. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has created us, and sometimes there are things that happen according to our whims, according to our wishes, according to our desires. When those things happen, then we thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We make shukr to Almighty Allah. We are grateful to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never regard those things to be something that we are entitled to. It is only Allah's grace that He gave us any ease. It is only Allah's grace that He gave us something that was according to our wish. It was not that something that we were entitled to. It was not something that you and I, we deserved it, or it happened because of our acumen. It happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to favor us with it. And sometimes when things happen which are not in our favor, which are challenging, which are difficult, whatever the type of difficulty that come, it is also a test of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we need to consider why this has come, and we need to take steps with regard to it in understanding why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about challenges. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ I will test you with ease and adversity. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرِّ Allah Ta'ala makes me, مَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَعْسَاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَدَرَّعُونَ So Allah Ta'ala makes mention of this basic principle that Allah Ta'ala visits us with both ease and adversity. When ease come, it is also a test. When difficulty and challenges come, it is also a test. Allah Ta'ala has made it. Sometimes challenges come because to show us the overlordship of Allah Ta'ala over us. It comes to show us that we are not in control of our destiny. It can be very frightening sometimes when a person thinks that everything happens because of me. Everything happens because of my whim, my desire. And if everything goes in that way, it could breed pride and arrogance in a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore sometimes brings about situations that are not according to what we plan. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ You plan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, عَرَفْتُ رَبِّي بِفَسْخِ الْعَزَائِمِ I recognize my Allah by the failure of my intention. I recognize Allah by the failure of my planning. I planned and Allah ta'ala planned something and things didn't go my way. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ Allah is in full control over you, O my bondsman, says Allah, to show you a sign of His authority over you. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ When the time of your death comes, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا He sends a messenger who never goes against Allah ta'ala's commands, مَلِكُ الْمَوْتِ He takes your life, He takes your soul, whether you are ready to go or not, whether you want to go or not, showing you don't control your destiny. Allah controls your destiny. Sometimes difficulty comes for us to understand the overlordship of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Sometimes it comes to direct and correct us. Yes, sometimes Allah Ta'ala brings about difficulty. Says Allah Ta'ala in Surah Alif Lam Mim Sijda, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْعَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرُ Allah Ta'ala sometimes make you taste a minor retribution, a minor difficulty prior to the major retribution that will come upon you if you choose wrong ways. But why does He do so? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ That you might turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He does it to direct and correct you. You are taking a path that is dangerous to you spiritually. Rectify your ways, correct your ways. So Allah Ta'ala brings about a certain degree of retribution upon you. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ For you to turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala brings about challenges and difficulties in our life to test us. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ Allah will test you with anxiety, fear, sometimes different challenges. Although we always, let me say, Ya Allah, grant us ease. We are very weak. Oh Allah, You grant us ease. But Allah Ta'ala sometimes do test people. So sometimes challenges come with the intention of testing us, inspecting us. Sometimes challenges come to perfect us. Because if there is no perfection, there is no challenges, we might not be able to understand, you know, the challenges of life. We might become proud. We might become arrogant. Challenges brings about within us humility. So Allah Ta'ala brings about challenges upon people for various reasons. I've just given you some of the reasons to show the overlordship and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to direct and correct us, to inspect us, to perfect us. These are all amongst the reasons why Allah Ta'ala, and many a times, challenges contains within it seeds of greatness. A person doesn't become great when everything goes according to his way. Many a times there are challenges. You come through those hurdles. You come through those challenges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a reflection. Allah Ta'ala gives you a situation of you understanding and coming closer towards Almighty Allah. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا We tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on many occasions. He came through the test with flying colors. We granted him greatness and we said, O Ibrahim, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا We will make you an imam and a leader. Every revered and revealed religion reveres Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And part of the reflection that we have with regard to challenges, my dear respected brothers, is to be sympathetic and kind. When you and I, we face challenges, it makes us humble. It makes us reflective. It makes us wanting to be kind and wanting to be considerate to other people. My dear respected brothers, there is one of the greatest attributes Islam has taught us, is kindness and compassion. Ya Aisha, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Aisha, you be kind, inna Allah rafiq, yuhibbu rifq." Allah Ta'ala is kind and Allah Ta'ala loves kindness and compassion. Respected brothers, we are living in an amazing world. Sometimes we feel that kindness is weakness. Kindness is not weakness, kindness is strength. A weak person can only beg for kindness, he cannot dispense with kindness. A weak person can only beg for mercy. A strong person is he who shows kindness to others. He shows mercy to others. Be sympathetic, be kind, be helpful to other people with regard to the challenges that they have. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, "Wallahi fi awni al-abd, ma kana al-abdu fi awni akhi." Allah is in the assistance of a human being as long as he is assisting other people. We show assistance. If Allah Ta'ala has given us something, then we show kindness. Whatever little we have, whatever we can do, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us to share and to be helpful to other people. On one occasion, he told the Sahaba, "It is compulsory upon you to give sadaqah for every joint in your body." So Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah," they felt the way sometimes you and I feel, that, you know, to give sadaqah and charity is only through the means of financial assistance. "Ya Rasulullah, we might not have that amount of wealth." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what an amazing thing he said. He said, even if you can't help someone with wealth, for you to help another person is sadaqah. For you to guide another person is sadaqah. For you to take a person across the road is sadaqah. And oh my companions, if you cannot do anything of that, smile in the face of your next human being, in your next face of your next Muslim brother, that will be a sadaqah. Now, it doesn't cost any money to smile, but that also people find difficult. So even if you smile, it is a sadaqah. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach us by that? Be a person of positive virtue, someone who helps people, someone who is the one who shows compassion, kindness, helpful nature to other people. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion said, "I saw a person enjoying himself in Jannah. I saw a person enjoying himself in the gardens of Jannah." For what? For removing the thorns that were in the road that were hampering people moving on that road. Have we ever considered a person going to Jannah for being helpful to people? We associate Jannah with great amount of exertion, great amount of effort, great amount of ibadah on its place. Here Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "I saw a person enjoying himself in Jannah because there was something on the road, it was offensive." Here we won't do that. Call the municipality, call the authorities. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "He removed it, I saw him enjoying himself in Jannah." My dear respected brothers, if we cannot do that, at least let us show some sort of consideration, some sort of compassion for people. You know, it is said very beautifully, if Allah has blessed you with something more than other people, then don't make your fences and your walls higher. Make your tables longer. When Allah has blessed you with something, don't make your walls higher, keeping yourself aloof from people. No, make your tables longer. Go and help people. If you can't help people, Sirri Sikki Rahmatullah Ali, the famous Sufi, one day was cold in Baghdad and he had a small shawl next to him. He didn't use the shawl, he started shivering. Some people said, "Sirri, why don't you use the shawl?" He said, "There are so many poor people in the city who cannot use the shawl. I cannot go and give each and every one a blanket and a shawl. I will remain without the shawl to be able to share the pain they have, to be able to share the difficulty of being in the cold. I cannot give them the blanket. I will stay in this way, I will shiver, just to be able to associate with those people who are in, you know, shivering in the cold." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the time of drought, in his time of khilafat, he did not have any food that was expensive, that the people could not afford. And he started losing weight, he became weak. So one day someone came, and his courtiers and his servants came, and they brought meat and said, "Today, alhamdulillah, meat is available in the streets of Medina, in the bazaars of Medina." He started eating, and then he asked, he said, "What is the price of the meat?" They gave him a certain price. He said, "Can the poor people afford this?" They said, "They cannot afford it." Umar said, "Take it away, I don't want to have it. Tell me when the poor people can afford the meat, then I will have it." Maybe you might not be able to reach that piety, my dear respected brothers, but it shows us the concept of Islam. Be willing to share the pain of others. Be willing to share the difficulty of others. That has been the hallmark of the Ummah. Wherever Muslims were in the world, throughout history, you will always find they made such a mark upon the places where they went that they changed the people for the better by their akhlaq, by their conduct, by the way they associated with people. There was no Muslim army that went to the Indonesian islands. It was few Muslim businessmen who went with their akhlaq, with their honesty, with their integrity. Today, Indonesia is the country with the greatest amount of Muslims. The same happened in West Africa and many other people. My dear respected brothers, this has been the hallmark of our community, the hallmark of this Ummah, the legacy of this Ummah. Wherever they went, they made such a positive impact, not only upon their own selves, but upon the people whom they are living with and upon their neighbors, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims. And this is what you and I must strive towards. And of course, the last thing with regard to my message today is, we are a nation, my dear respected brothers, that we never ever become despondent. We never ever become despondent. So I'm just enumerating some of my points for today's Jummah message. The first of which is, why Allah Ta'ala brings about different situations. Sometimes ease, sometimes adversity. And this is part of the test. Why does Allah Ta'ala sometimes bring about challenges and some certain amount of difficulty in our life? I outline some of the reasons. Allah Ta'ala brings about to show us His overlordship, to direct and correct us, to test and inspect us, to perfect us. Then afterwards it also brings about for us to reflect. Part of reflection is to be able to share whatever Allah has given us, to be able to help people. And I've outlined some of the benefits of helping people from the Sharia. And lastly, I would like to say, we are a nation, we are an ummah, we are a people of a teaching that teaches us never ever to become despondent. Never ever to become despondent. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْعَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is only the one who does not believe in Allah who becomes despondent. In the mercy of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that we look at the positive aspect. We are optimists by nature. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he was sending him towards Yemen as his ambassador, as his envoy. And he said, "O Mu'adh, bashira wa la tunaffira, yassira wa la tu'assira." O Mu'adh, give people glad tidings. Give people glad tidings. Don't turn them away from religion by hatred. And make things easy for people. Don't make things difficult for people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always an optimist. Even with regard to people who were his enemies, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with them in such a way that they changed the course of their life and their destiny by the positive attitude of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu set out to come and assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He set out to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And while he was setting out to go and come and kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua, "O Allah, assist Islam with either Umar ibn Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham." One became Abu Jahl, one became Farooq. While he was out to kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua for his hidayat. Today, this is the benefit of optimism. Today, the person who set out to assassinate the Prophet, he is today buried next to the Prophet. And there is no Muslim who goes to Medina and does not make salam to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will not make salam to Abu Bakr and Umar. And he makes salam to a person who set out to assassinate the Nabi of Allah on one occasion. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala who changed the course of the entire situation of the Battle of Uhud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Makkah, asked, where is Khalid? He fled Makkah. He wasn't even prepared to see you. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a letter and told his brother to give him his letter. And he said, oh Khalid, an intelligent person like you cannot remain ignorant of the beauty of Islam. Khalid read the letter. He said, I am the person who was behind the setback of Uhud, in which the Prophet of Almighty Allah's uncle got assassinated and got martyred. And here he is writing a letter for me to come to Islam. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala became a Muslim. This was the optimism of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me conclude with one incident I made mention of yesterday in the centenary of the all Ceylon Jamiatul Ulama. Brothers, we are like people like this, who are people who are helpers of humankind. There were two, you know, Sufis, Shaqiq ibn Balkhi, and the other one I think was either Fuzail ibn Ayaz or perhaps Ibrahim bin Adam. One day, Fuzail bin Ayaz or Ibrahim bin Adam asked Shaqiq, Shaqiq, why have you chosen a cause of action in your life and give me the reason for it? So he said, I'm only making ibadat in the Kaaba and the Haram. That is my purpose in life and I'm not going to be deterred from this purpose. Oh Shaqiq, why did you choose this purpose? One day I was traveling. I saw a blind bird on a tree. I rested at a place. I saw this blind bird and I said, Ya Allah, who's going to look after this blind bird? Most likely it will be destroyed. I saw another bird coming. And that bird put a worm in the beak and the mouth of the blind bird. And I looked at this in amazement. And I made up my mind, oh Fuzail, I made up my mind that if Allah can look after a blind bird, He will take care of my worldly needs. I'm going to go make ibadat in the haram. Allah will take care of my worldly needs. The elder Sufi, either it was Fuzail bin Ayaz or Ibrahim bin Adam, subject to correction, he said, oh Shaqiq, I'm disappointed by you. He said, why? He said, why did you choose to be the blind bird? Why did you, from this incident, choose to be the blind bird? Why didn't you choose to be the bird that was putting the worm in the beak of the blind bird? Why didn't you choose to be the bird that was helping the blind bird? Why didn't you choose? That is what we do. We look at situations and we try to be as far as possible amongst those who are positive, those who are helpful, those who are kind, those who are compassionate, because that is our teachings, that is our legacy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal upon that legacy. And may Allah ta'ala grant us the ability to follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show the beauty of our deen, to practice upon it, and to be amongst those who show the beauty of our deen to others, not only in words, but in practice and in demonstration. فَيَا أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ فَيَا جَمَاعَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد او ولده ولا مولود هو جاز او والده شيئا ان وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياه الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور يا ايها الذين امنوا توبوا الى الله توبه نصوحا ان الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا كما قال الله عز وجل انه لا ييأس من روح الله الا القوم الكافرون اقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.